What I have here that I've handed out is from last week. Okay, so we had a bunch of this stuff up here, and we had to scribble it. So what I do is I take our lesson and compile it for the teachers, for them to teach, and I actually summarized it too. But basically, their points today are that God thinks honoring your parents is very important. And we gave them three reasons. One, it's the first command that has to do with people. It's even before murder and adultery. Remember we mentioned last week? It's all the first, also the first command with the promise. Okay, so that's what they're teaching, the teachers are teaching today. But what I've done, and this is a lot more detailed, but it's kind of based off of all the stuff we wrote down last week. Okay, so, and it's organized a little more. Okay, so it maybe makes more sense. So, scratch it. And there's Ted. There you go. Hi. So I've got it all there. And then I started looking at, you know what? Ephesians 6 talks about that, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And it's like, well, that doesn't say that in Exodus 20. So I did a quick study on the back side. If you look at the back side of your sheet, this is just extra. We're not really covering it today. But it's comparing the Ten Commandments is given two times in the Old Testament. The first time is Exodus 20, when they were at the foot of Mount Sinai. The second time is Deuteronomy 5. And Deuteronomy comes from the Greek words for deuteros, which means two or second, and onimos, which is law. So it's the second giving of the law. And Deuteronomy is basically three sermons that Moses gives before God allows him to die. Remember, Moses wasn't able to enter into the promised land. So Moses dies, and then Joshua takes over from there. So I've compared the two, and for the most part, they're almost word for word. Okay, there's a little more explanation on some of them, but some of them are just word for word. But notice, on commandment number 5, I have the second column there. It's number 5. I have our relationship to God, our relationship to people. But you notice there in the Exodus 20, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And then Deuteronomy 5, it gives a little more detail to explain what God's intending. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long. And we used a word Q. What? Long, that your days may be long. What is that? Quantity, right? The number of days. And that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God has given you. And we call that quality. So, quantity is long life. Quality is good life. That's what Jane's going to be teaching her kids today, is long and good rather than quality and quantity. Because those are words that are kind of big and for kids to get their brains around. So this is just a chart to compare those two for my benefit. But I thought, well, I'll give it to you guys too in case you want it. But that's where Ephesians, it seems to be quoting from Deuteronomy as opposed to Exodus. But the intent is there that it's a good life and a long life. If you do not honor your parents, one or both will be true, that you will either not have a long life or you won't have a good life or both. Okay, God attaches that promise to that. And it's the only command of the ten that has any kind of promise at all. Okay. Questions about either sheet? While I rapidly erase the board. Today, what I think I'm going to end up doing is just covering a representation of why honor our parents. And you could say why obey and honor. I was going to cover what does honor mean, but I think I'm going to reserve that for next week because I still have more homework. I'm sure I could teach it now, but I could teach it better next week. So let's just focus on why, okay, today. Why should we honor our parents? That's where we're going to be today. Yep, the first one, and it's reasonable and logical to think this, is to obey God. It's commanded. Okay? Why honor our parents? Okay? Number one, to obey God. Let's just look to obey God's command. How's that? He told us to. Yeah, we're covering what God told us. There are limitations to obeying parents. We're going to get to that in another day. Okay? These are reasons why, not why not. Okay? Yeah. Okay, they're our parents for sure, but to obey God. So God commands us in Exodus 20. That's in your notes there that I just handed out. What verse is that? Exodus 20:12, is it? Is that correct? Yeah, 12. Exodus 20:12. By the way, these are not the only ones that exist. Deuteronomy 5, what? 16? Okay. And then, the most popular, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, which says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then it quotes Deuteronomy, honor your father and mother, and then it says, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So it actually reverses those two, too. Well first and then long. And that's probably the way we'd think it. Because, well, when I die, I die. But living, I want to have a good life. That'll impact me before I die. Bad life or good life. You also have Colossians, 3:20? Children obey your parents. One of those. But there's quite a few more in the Old Testament. We're going to get into that more next week. But there's curses and blessings. So remember, the Ten Commandments is a summary statement of the Old Testament. It's not all that God said. We're going to go into next week, how do you honor your parents? And the list is not one word. It's a list that we're going to look at, okay? And it goes into quite a bit of detail in the Old Testament especially, but also in the New Testament. Very quickly, let's just brainstorm to give you a taste for next week. What does it mean to honor your parents? Okay.
Help them.
Respect. Help.
Listen. Take care of them when they're sick.
Care for when they're sick. What else? Care for them when they're old. That's built in. It's assumed in the Bible. And God, the Son of God directly addresses how the Pharisees, we're going to look at this next week, bypass that so that we don't have to take care of our parents. I don't want to spend my hard-earned money to care for them. So let's make a spiritual workaround. Okay? What's another one? Obey. Oh, yeah, that one too, right? And then I think we're going to spend a whole week. This is next week, and I don't even know if we'll get done. It depends on how much discussion we have. Then we're going to spend a whole week on when does this change? Okay? how old are you when this no longer applies? Okay, and we've already told you about that, but we're going to go into more detail, and we're going to look at biblical reasons or arguments for that as well. So, how old? That's probably in 2 weeks. Okay, how old do you have to be before that goes away? There's even more to this list. Come next week.
I'll be at work.
Yeah, we're just giving you a taste. There's more. There's facts. I could probably think of 10 right now, but I'm not going to list them all for you. All right, to obey God's command, to obey. Oftentimes, and I don't know why, and maybe you have an idea. Maybe it's just our human nature. Maybe you have a better idea that I haven't been able to come up with. But why is it that we... if God commands it, it's not enough for us. You know what I mean? Isn't that enough? But we feel that, well, we have to understand it and approve it before we say that's okay. Okay? We feel that we have to understand understand the reasoning. Let's put it that way. The reasoning of God and approve or be convinced of it. Convinced of God's reasoning before we obey. Is that correct? That's what I see. It's like, well, if I don't understand why God would say that, I'm not going to do it until I understand, and by the way, until I approve of that. Does that make sense? I believe that's kind of the approach we have to the Word of God today, by and large. Whether it's wives submitting to husbands, husbands loving their wives, children obeying their parents, slaves, submit to your masters, pay taxes or whatever. In our mind, it's like kicking and screaming, right? God, you don't seem to understand all the details, or you wouldn't say that. We're basically saying God doesn't know what he's talking about, and we don't fully understand it, and we haven't agreed with it, and therefore we do not accept it, and therefore we will not comply. This should be enough anytime. You shall not have other gods before me. You shall not make a graven image. You shall not take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Don't kill. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't covet. A lot of people do all 10 commandments, break all 10 commandments, yes. But I'm saying the idea here is that should be sufficient. Even though we don't fully understand, we should be able to trust God's wisdom and do it anyway, right? Because God's ways work even if we don't understand how. Anyone here ever taken algebra? See, I like puzzles. I don't do a lot of puzzles. But I took algebra 1, and then I took geometry also. But I took it, and we had an interesting teacher. I'm not sure why, but my homeroom teacher was the algebra teacher. But my teacher of algebra was the typing teacher. I don't understand why. I think he knew what he was talking about, but he did it a different way. He would always say, your assignment for tomorrow is page 46 and 47. All right, you have to do these problems 1 through 25. The problem is he hadn't taught that concept yet. We had to do the problems, and we got graded for the problems before he taught us the concept, which always kind of frustrated me. But one of the things it did was it made me try to figure out not only what he was teaching, but why it worked. Okay? And the one thing that probably confuses people in math, especially Susanna, algebra coming up, girlfriend, but the one thing that, and geometry is the same thing. You do not have to understand why it works. You just have to understand that it does. Follow this theorem, follow this formula, and it will work every time, like this, right? And I don't even know what this is. A squared plus B squared equals C squared, whatever, you know, whatever the case. What is that, triangle? Is that the thing? Okay, whatever. You know, right? So A, B, C. You don't have to know why it works. You just have to know that it does. And yet, and sometimes you could work on algebra and figure out, oh, now I get why it works. You know, and other times it's like, I don't know why it works. I just know that it does. And so therefore, it's the same way. We don't have to understand why it works. And that's why I even think the Genesis 1:28 thing. People start questioning God because they don't understand why and how it works. But you have to understand that God knows what he's talking about. And so you can trust God's formula without having to understand how it works or why it works. That's my point. Okay? And algebra is like that. You know, you learn theorems and hypotheses, you know, and proofs, yes. You know, different levels of things. But, and the idea is like geometry is with more shapes and spaces and stuff like that. But the idea is you find out that there's, I don't see how anyone can not believe in God and do math. Okay? Math is ultimate absolutes, and people reject absolutes. And it's like, how do you drive? How do you shoot a rocket to the moon? You know, the moon's over here, and you shoot it here because you know the moon will be around there. But, you know, that's math. But there's absolutes, and the whole universe is based upon absolutes. Okay? But you can trust what God says, even though you don't understand why or how. Because you can trust God. You can trust in his wisdom, his ability, his control, and none of those are within even the scope of our understanding fully. You understand? You know, you can't fit God in, an infinite God in a finite head if you're the most intelligent person on the face of the earth. Okay? So to obey God's command is the first reason to honor your parents, because God said so. All right? Because God said so, and that's a way you'd probably say it to children. It's because God said so. That's the starting point. Now, God gives us other reasons as well, but that should be adequate, and we need to learn to trust and to fear God, to do what he says even when we don't understand how it works. Okay? Another reason to honor our parents. Anyone here?
Because they brought us in the world.
Okay. I'm kind of looking from a biblical standpoint. I agree with you, but I'm gonna give you another reason, okay? How many here, I mean, appreciate being alive today? And how many people, I mean, just off the cuff, this is an unscientific survey, but how many are kind of hoping the same thing works out for tomorrow? You know, I'm like thinking, you know, even all week would be great. You know, or even all month or all year. That would be fantastic to just be alive a little longer. Okay? Well, one of the ideas that God connects the first commandment with the promise is to live long. Okay? To live long. And I'm going to put it this way. To have as long of a life as God wants you to have.
give them a second chance. Sometimes when people are in a bad car accident, they're about to die, their dad gives them a second chance to live.
Yep. I'm sure that's the case.
When they're close to dying, like in a coma, but then he lets them come out of the coma, that's God doing that, right?
I would say that God's in control of everybody's days.
And if he wants you to come out of the coma, you come out, right?
But we're talking a different thing, I think, maybe, that the idea is that, generally speaking, if we honor our parents, we'll live longer than if we don't. Okay? As a lifestyle, as a habit, that doesn't mean if you haven't done right today, you can't start tomorrow. How many, anyone remember Oliver B. Green? He was like a radio evangelist. I had some books of his years ago or whatever. A strong Bible preacher, and he apparently was a terribly rebellious man in his younger age toward his parents. And he said, if God lets me live long, he's a liar. You know, and he wasn't calling God a liar. He just expected that God will take him. He died in his 50s. And he fully expected that because he was a rebellious son. Okay, that doesn't mean that he didn't turn around and honor his parents later, but it must have been later in life, you know. Now, anyone here ever dishonor their parents? Okay. Yes. Okay. That's why children obey your parents is in the Bible, and it's a process we learn. So that doesn't mean that, you know, we haven't all been there, but I think it's a lifestyle, and I think it's something that we, as an ongoing basis, God expects us to do all of our lives. And I think if we form a habit, harden our heart toward our parents, God will deal with this either in the quality of life or quantity of life area, or maybe both. And I know some harsh illustrations of that. And my people that I knew did or do that. I'll tell you in a sec here. Anyway, you find this out in this passage here, and well, and actually all three. Okay, so the same passages. And again, does God take people at an early age sometimes? Yes. So understand that that's why he put it. You'll live as long a life as God wants you to live. He will not prematurely allow you to die because you were disobedient to your parents. Some people have been burned at the stake. Some people have been beheaded for the cause of Christ, and God allowed that. Most of the apostles died martyr-type deaths. Okay, so there's other things involved there. Okay? Jesus was subject to his parents, and he was crucified. Okay? But he wasn't crucified because he dishonored his parents. Understand that. But God is in control of people's lives. But the idea is you will live as long as God wants you to live. You won't be have your life shortened because you've dishonored your parents. But that doesn't mean if you, I knew a pastor years ago in Indiana when I went to school there for a semester, and he had an 8-year-old daughter that died of leukemia. And based upon anything that I knew, she wasn't rebellious. That was another way that God worked in their lives. They were some of the most gentle, loving people you'd ever meet. And it was their home was a sacred place because of what God had done. So just because someone dies doesn't mean that they're disobedient. Think of all the aborted children.
Do you think she went to heaven? Do you think she went to heaven?
Their daughter? Yes, I do. But I believe she knew the Lord. She was old enough to be saved. So again, understand that, but to have a long life, let me give you two examples or illustrations from my own time. Years ago, I knew, I still know the family. I'm not close to them, and every now and then it seems like our paths cross. My parents know the family. I knew him up in Fort Dodge. I grew up in Fort Dodge, the church there, and they attended church. And I didn't really know till later that I knew the pastor's son where they attended church before they came to Fort Dodge. But the two oldest boys used to beat up their dad. Now, I don't know all the circumstances. I don't know, you know, all the details. All I know is that growing up, that thought never crossed my mind. And I'm saying it. I had a godly fear of my dad. He was a disciplinarian, but you knew he was doing it because he loved you. And anytime you got it, I would say probably 99 out of 100 times, you probably deserve more than what you got, kind of idea, you know. So, and I praise God for my dad. But something like that never crossed my mind. But these two boys, One took a liking to me. I don't know why. He was a little older than me, but he, even after we moved to Cedar Rapids, he had surgery on his knees and stuff, and they'd always stop by, and he was my buddy, you know, whatever. But he was dating a gal at Faith Baptist Bible College, and he dropped her off at Faith and fell asleep at the wheel on I-35 and crossed the median head-on in a semi-truck. Okay, God just took him home. Was he a believer? I absolutely believe he was a believer.
He fell asleep behind the wheel.
He fell asleep behind the wheel, and God took him home. And you know what? I think he was like 19. And I believe that it was due to his dishonor of his parents. I believe God keeps his promise, and it's in the New Testament. You know, it's not, someone can't say, well, it's the Old Testament, it doesn't apply today. Sorry, but it quotes the Old Testament to prove that, okay? His brother, who was my age, maybe a hair younger, a couple years after that, wrapped his car. I mean, he was not living a good life anyway, but he wrapped his car around the telephone pole and burned to death, as I understand it. He had been drinking and all that. But the Word of God would tell you that they shouldn't have been surprised. No one should have been surprised, because why? Of the 10 commands of the Old Testament, God listed that one before. Remember what we said last week? Before murder and before adultery as the biggest deal with regard to human relationships. And I don't think God was messing around. And he gave an incentive even to say, this is that important that if you do this, I will give you a good life and a long life. And I think it's a big deal. I don't believe that God takes it lightly. And we somehow think that God doesn't pay attention to what he wrote or something. But he does. So... But I've also, just to let you know, I've also had good friends die that were very honoring to their parents. Okay, so again, as long as God wants you to live, I worked with a young man, he was 21 years old, at Iowa Bankers Association before I ended up over at LMC. And he was an intern of ours. I was in charge of the interns in our IT department. And his name is Matthew, and he was a Catholic. I got a chance to share the gospel, and he was very honoring to his parents. And he up and died. He worked at the theater. And some of you might even remember when I tell you, it was in the newspaper, it was in the news for quite a while, but he worked all week long for us in the summer. And then in high school, he worked at the theater, so that's what he did on the weekends. And he was kind of like an assistant manager up at the Windsong Theater. And some guy got mad and got in his face. Didn't touch him, whatever, but it was Matthew's job to escort him out. The guy was mad because the theater was full and they'd refund your tickets, but they don't refund your food money. Okay, he was there with his buddy and there was only two seats and they couldn't sit together. So he got all mad, threw his popcorn. Well, Matthew escorted him out, came back in, collapsed, and died. I don't know if they still know. And if you knew Matthew, he's one of the most gentle people. In fact, to give you an idea how he honored his parents, he died the last Saturday of July, 9 years ago. I'm getting ready to tell you. In October, his mom got flowers from him that same year because he had, for her birthday, that he had purchased ahead of time. Of course, she didn't make it through the day. She had to go back home. But he's a young man that honored his parents but died early for other, and still, I think people still aren't sure why. But it isn't, you can guarantee that it wasn't for this. And that,
he was too good for this earth.
Yeah. Yeah, it was,
maybe God just wanted him to be home, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. I don't. If I said anything, it would be guessing because I'm not God and God didn't tell me. And it was devastating to me. We just meshed. We were on our second year. We had interns for 2 years and we were just good buddies. He followed me. We had the same kind of dry sense of humor. It was just a blast. And then he was up and gone, So, and I've known other people too that are like that died early that wasn't there. But that's something that we should consider. How was my relationship with my parents? That should be a question. If there's no problem there, then okay, then God has different plans for me. Okay? All right, based upon this point, we should be able to guess the next point. Why honor parents? To obey God's command? To have a long life based upon what God wants. And again, we've clarified and put a caveat there to understand that if a person dies early, that doesn't mean they're necessarily being disobedient to God. Okay? Lady Jane Grey was a very godly queen for a very short time when she was killed by Bloody Mary. She refused to follow that, but she was beheaded. I think she was 19 in England. Okay? And God's name was promoted because she was willing to die for him, the Lord. Okay? So just another example. What's the next one? To have a long life as God wants you to have, and to have as good of a life. And I'm just going to put dot, 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 because the rest of it there. That doesn't mean that you will die rich.
You might die really poor.
You might die poor, but you know what? The Bible says better to be poor in a home where happiness is, for example. You know what I mean? No, that's absolutely not true. The love of money is the root of all evil. You can be rich or poor and love money, right? So it's not money, it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. That's what the Bible teaches. If a person can have a lot of money and be very blessed of the Lord. Abraham is an example. Job is another example. Okay? So you can have a long life, you can have a good life. And those are good reasons. How many want their life also not only to be long, how would you like to be long and miserable? To me, that isn't that appealing, is it? And I'm not saying, it doesn't mean you might not have a tough life. But tough with God is a good life. Okay? So long and good. And the idea, again, it doesn't mean that you won't suffer persecution, because God said to anyone who desires to live godly will suffer persecution. In some way, you'll meet resistance. You'll meet friction, okay, because of that. But I think of it even as a logical thing. If you pay attention to your parents, if you honor your parents, and part of it is listening and doing what they tell you to do, it doesn't mean that all the parents, any parents, have it all right and got it all figured out. But by and large, most parents want what's best for you in their limited understanding. And every parent has limited understanding. They're not trying to make you miserable. I'm saying that as a general rule. Some parents break the law, do wrong. stuff like that. Their conscience is seared, and they're not being good. They're, you know, encouraging their kids to peddle drugs or something maybe. But I'm saying, by and large, a parent, even who is unsaved, is desiring what is best in their mind for their child. And part of it comes from to experience. Anyone here attended the School of Hard Knocks at all? The older you get, the more class is in session, and you never graduate. But part of what comes from that is experience that you can share. Why get your own knocks if you can learn from the knocks of others? That experience factor, that seasoning that comes in, even as we've said, as you get older, I don't know what it is about getting older, but you start seeing things from a broader perspective so that you understand that maybe what used to concern you before isn't that big of a deal now that you see it 20 years later or whatever. I gave the illustration of my dad. Nathan was a little kid, probably Daniel's age, and we go up and, you know, Thanksgiving, I remember because he had a pilgrim's hat, and he goes up and just ding 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 ding, you know, going to grandpa's house and ringing the doorbell. And I'm like, I responded like probably my dad responded when he was my age with a kid like that. Don't do that. You don't ring it. Grandpa won't like that. And he comes out and, oh, that's okay. He's just a little kid. And I literally stood outside with new revelation from God. Like, you know, who are you and what have you done with my father? You know, kind of I didn't say that, but in my mind I'm thinking that. But that's exactly right. As you get older, you start thinking, you know, he's a kid. He's not violating any command of God. He's a kid. You know, but you don't get that when maybe nearly as much as you're 20, but you can learn that before you cross.
My mom said that her mom and dad were really hard on them growing up, but when they had the grandkids, they were very soft on the grandkids.
Yeah, there's the other extreme, too. But pity the oldest child. We've said that before. You know, every child is a guinea pig, but the oldest child is the first one.
Hey, is it true how you teach your parents to come back 10 times more to you when you have kids?
Well, I don't know, but if they don't have a good example from you, they don't really have anything to learn from, so that's probably even logically. So.
No, but I have a friend who said that how she treated her mother, that she had her kids there, but that turned out to work.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a law. I don't know if I could say that, you know, just because you treat it, it might work well. Maybe you have a good mate that helps train your kids and they turn out better than they should, you know, or something. But I'm just saying, at least in the military, they said if you don't know how to follow, you don't know how to lead. So there might be something. If you don't understand how to follow your parents, you're not going to understand how to lead children either, because there's an understanding there that has to come from that. So there's things you learn, and I still, you know, Susie's our oldest right now. She's the latest oldest guinea pig at our house. So, Susie's 16. She'll be 17.
And how old is your oldest now? Like 20?
27.
27.
Yeah, we can't get too far off track. I weigh 193.7 pounds, too. My shoe size is 9.5. And my left side, my left foot's slightly larger than my right. But let's not get there. But even Susie, she sees us in all of our tarnished glory of how we're still struggling to be good parents. So we're still slugging away there. And we're still not good at it, is all I'm saying. We're still learning how to do it. So there's a process. We're not done with 15 yet. Talk to me in 18 years. All right. I'll know way more than I know now, hopefully, but I still probably will be learning. And every kid's different, so it throws you for a loop. Some of them get in your face, and others you just barely look at them and they're crying, and you're, you know, I didn't mean to look at you funny. You know, it's just different. Everyone's.
Do you want more kids?
Hmm?
You actually want to have more kids?
I would take as many kids as God would give us, and we don't have any complaints yet. So.
Just with the
in-laws, Yeah, we've been scraping the bottom of the barrel. The in-laws.
I would say, let's
see,
expensive to feed everybody every day, right?
9 1/2. Did I say left foot? Right side's a little smaller than the left. We'll get off. Anyway, why honor your parents? To obey God's command, to have a long life, to have a good life. And again, a good life isn't. There are no problems, because guess what? God uses problems to work in our lives, okay? This doesn't mean you won't ever die, okay? This doesn't mean you'll never have problems. It just means that you won't unnecessarily have problems. You won't. If you're listening to your parents, you're going to avoid a lot of problems that you would go through otherwise. Does that make sense? Yeah. You're going to, mom and dad, as gruffy and as inexperienced as they are, they've been around the block just a few more times, but they know some stuff that can help you. And the Bible over and over exhorts you to listen, remember what your parents tell you so that it can guide you all of your life. Okay? It works. And maybe... and hopefully God adds to that and your experiences will fine-tune that. But it's not a waste to learn from other people. Life's too short to learn it all the hard way, really, you know. And every one of us here will and have made mistakes, right? So it's like, yeah, so man, I'm terrible at that. I can tell you all kinds of, you know, things that I've learned from that, you know, or whatever kind of thing. So I told you, I went in the Army for 4 years, and my dad had been in the Army, so, you know, for a few years. So I was more used to just barking out the orders. And I have 9 girls, and over the years, my wife has said, sweetheart, you need to maybe fine-tune how you say things, you know. It's like, what do you mean? Drop, give me 10, you know, whatever. What's wrong with that? I'm used to that. I grew up that way, you know. I spent 4 years in the Army that way. It's sir, yes, sir, you know. I understand authority. I understand followership. It's, yeah, but not everybody's been in the Army.
Why did you get out?
Why
did you get out?
So I could be your pastor. How's that?
Well, you didn't like being in the Army and you didn't want to go on?
If there were 4 of me, 1 of me would have stayed in. That's a 9 1/2, 9. Did I tell you about that? Anyway, have a good life. That's what I'm talking about. It's not everything goes good, but you learn from us, you know, the direction that people send you. It isn't perfectly honed, but it's way better than not having something. And if they're biblical parents that are doing their best to teach you some truth of God, it's still not going to be complete, still not going to be perfect, but you're way ahead of somebody who doesn't have the Word of God in their life, okay? That's a good life. Here's the last one here. By the way, same verses. Especially, well, these two talk about that it may be well with you, right, for that one here. The last one that is worth something probably. A blessing to your parents. You might say, well, that sounds selfish. The fact that you're a parent and saying that. Well, I'm not making this up. The Bible says that too. A wise son makes a glad father. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:1, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. The Bible isn't saying that just as some kind of observation. It's motivation. Understand that it's not wrong to please your parents. 10, verse 1. Thank you. Raise your hands. Many times, you just throw some at me. And you just, what was that? That's fine.
Wouldn't it be less than saying you're blessing your parents and you're honoring them?
Yeah, I would say that too. If you're a blessing to your parents, you are honoring them as well. I think that's true as well. You know, if you're doing these things, it does a parent good, and you should. Proverbs 15, verse 20. A A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Notice this. A foolish man. Now it's going a little bit further. It's that you're foolish if you despise your mother. Okay? It kind of puts the two against each other. Proverbs 15:20. And it's extolling being wise. It's not. It's a side benefit. That guess what? If you're wise, being wise is good by itself. But guess what? You also will make your father glad. Okay. Proverbs 17:25. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her who bore him. And this might go back to what Jackie was saying. Well, they bore you. Yeah, well, there is, about the 1725, did I tell you Proverbs 17? There is kind of a payback that seems to be implied in the Bible that, you know what? You owe your parents something. And again, understand, we're already assuming that they're imperfect, that they've failed you, they've sinned, all of that, and you still owe them. Anyone's parents here aborted them? Hey, that's a place to start, right? But she didn't abort you.
No.
And she's still your mom, so therefore you can still honor her as your mother, even though you don't have to approve of her lifestyle, right?
I don't disrespect her, no.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. I think that's the right approach. Right.
I was going to tell you, she said that she went to church 3 weeks ago because a great nephew of hers, one of her best friends, his child, who was 21 years old, died of leukemia. So she went to church because of a funeral.
Yeah? See?
Because of a funeral.
Yeah?
But other than that, she only goes to church when there's a baptism, you know, like in a Catholic church, or when somebody dies, or early. That's the only time she goes to church.
Okay. I got to stop you, though, because I'm out of time, okay? But that's good. Even if your mom gets exposed to church even a little bit, even if it's in a Catholic church, maybe it'll whet an appetite, you know.
As long as that's good.
Let me give you one more. Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25. And then I'm going to give you one more point to add that I won't list here today. But it says, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. That's stated as a command. You make your parents happy. Not, and understand, by being wise. And I'm going to give you number 5, okay? Why honor your parents? I would say this is a huge one. Guess what? You got other people watching you. And you're a pattern to other people for good or for bad. I encourage kids in my family that, you know, the older kids, they're setting the pace for the younger kids. It's a pattern. And that, to me, is huge, too. Wives set an example for following authority by how they yield to their husbands. But older children also set an example of how to follow parents to their younger siblings and to those around them, whether it's their church family, acquaintances, or whatever. You are an example to other people for good or for bad. You reinforce the truth or you rebel against the truth by your actions. And there's probably 20 more we can add to the list. But these are some. If you want a verse for this, try Titus chapter 2, verse, I think it's 6. Paul told Titus to show yourself an example, a pattern for good works. I'll tell you in a sec here. I'll get it. Verse 6. And verse 7, likewise exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility. Lots to think about, and the world doesn't hear enough of this. The church doesn't hear enough of this. So. All right? You guys need a question answer time today? Anyone? We might just forego any kind of starting block or Q&A today then, okay? So, all right, let's just close in prayer and then you'll be dismissed. All right? Heavenly Father, thank you for your truth. Lord, we humbly come to you today, understanding that we are rebellious. We were born sinners. Lord, everything that we know that's good, we had to be taught. And Lord, we understand that we are a long ways from perfection and that we need your truth and we don't think your thoughts apart from being taught. We pray that you would help us to learn and grow and change as leaders, as followers, as parents, as children. Help us to learn, and Lord, help us, even if our parents have passed away, that we might honor them by our actions, by how we represent them as those that live, how we represent them to other people. We just thank you for your plan of parenting and family and all, and we just think it's fantastic how you've given us moms and dads to raise us and to care for us in their broken and imperfect and sinful ways at times. We just praise you that how it still works even today. Help us to learn your truth. Help us to pass on your truth. Help us to live your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.